I'm Roseanne Scribble with Avi Arditi, and this week on Wordmaster, Shakespeare in American English. This is the 75th anniversary year of the Folger Shakespeare Library, home to the largest collection of Shakespeare materials in the world. That collection is housed here in Washington, where Georgiana Ziegler heads the reference department. Ms. Ziegler says she's been poking around the Folger archives lately to document the influence of Shakespeare on American life, dating back to the founding of the nation.
And it really did become a part of American language through the schools, through people having a copy of Shakespeare in their homes. If they had any book, they would usually have the Bible and then Shakespeare.
And so why don't you brought a book with you there and...
Yes, well, there's a wonderful book by Michael McCrone called Brush Up Your Shakespeare, in which he lists a lot of these very popular terms that we find all the time. For example, something happened in one fell swoop, everything happening at once. And, of course, we don't think about Macbeth when we say that, but that's where it's from. And there are actually a lot of these terms. I was just looking through this and discovering that there are a lot of things that we use that come from Macbeth for some strange reason. For example, if you say it's the be-all and the end-all, the idea of the be-all and the end-all seems that it's the goal. It's a kind of a goal that you reach for. Or knock, knock, who's there? Comes from the drunken porter scene in Macbeth, where the guy who's supposed to answer the door is drunk and somebody's knocking and he goes into this long sort of inebriated speech. He says, knock, knock, knock. Who's there?
Are you serious? So when children now do knock, knock.
Knock, knock jokes.
Knock, 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 knock jokes. Came from Shakespeare.
Well, knock, knock, who's there? Yeah.
Who's there?
I think a lot of times Shakespeare is using phrases and things that were popular at his own time. For example, to thine own self be true. That comes from Hamlet, from Polonius giving Laertes a lot of advice before he goes off to the continent. He's sending his son off to Europe, and he knows this is a dangerous place. So he gives him a whole slew of advice before he goes, and one of the last things he says is, to thine own self be true. Of course, to be or not to be, there's the rub. That comes from Hamlet.
Which, if you could explain simply what that means when people say, there's the rub.
There's the catch. There's the essence, might be close to it, as Michael McCrone suggests. The rub, apparently, in Shakespeare's time, came. It's a sports term. It came from an obstacle in the game of bowls, which diverts a ball from its true course.
What do you think has given these phrases that originated in Shakespeare such staying power?
Well, I think they're sort of catchy. You know, there's the rub, or to be or not to be, or to sleep, perchance to dream. Or friends, Romans, countrymen. They're things that stay in people's minds because they are a little bit catchy. And then the other ones are really proverbial, like to thine own self be true. In fact, Polonius's entire speech is made up of common proverbs. And a lot of those proverbs have come down not only in English, but in other foreign languages too. They just have other ways of expressing the same ideas. You know, neither a lender nor a borrower be, that kind of thing.
Now, when Shakespeare was writing, this was late 1500s, early 1600s,
mm-hmm.
How close to contemporary English was that?
Very close. Shakespeare's language is very conversational for the time. Today, it may seem a bit elite to us or musty, but in fact, it was pretty much commonplace English in Shakespeare's time.
Does it surprise you that there are so many words in American English that come from Shakespeare? Or so many words and phrases?
No, not really, I think, because American English is so... It goes back so much to British English of the time. I mean, people in early America turned to England for their literature. It was really only in the 19th century when you had people like Hawthorne and Melville and Thoreau and Emerson who began to think that they ought to build their own American tradition of literature. But even those men were extremely well-read, and someone like Margaret Fuller, who was one of the early feminists, even in her writing, was very, really... drawing on Shakespeare because they knew Shakespeare so well.
Georgiana Ziegler is head of reference at the Folger Shakespeare Library. The library this year is celebrating its 75th anniversary as the largest and finest collection of Shakespeare materials in the world and a popular link between the Bard of Avon and the American people. And we hope that you stay linked with us at voanews.com/wordmaster. Our email address is word@voanews.com. With Avi Arditi, I'm Roseanne Scribble.